This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back to Overtime. And courtesy of the Rude Guest Hotline, we got a baller for you. CB, Charlie Brown, is back in the DMV, courtesy of the Rude Guest Hotline, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And when I heard word that there was a possibility that RFK 2.0 could be back in the city, dude, I could just see you with your arms out being carried off the field after scoring another touchdown and being carried off the field. What was your initial reaction to the news?
Well, I was excited, very happy, because that's where, you know, the new stadium belongs, in the old RFK spot. And a lot of memories there. You know, I remember I scored my first touchdown against the Eagles there and went on to have like 146 or 142 yards receiving a touchdown. So brings back a lot of memories, man.
And boy, you created them. You know, it doesn't seem like it's been as many years. I feel weird even saying how many years ago it was, but just, I mean, even a numbskull can figure out that it's been a minute or so, but the electricity that was generated at that time is just hard to forget. Even though they won after us, and they won big after us, but it's almost like your first child or your first whatever. There was something about their relationship with that crowd and our team and teams that I don't think you can ever duplicate.
No, you're absolutely correct. You know, that was our home field advantage. And, you know, we just didn't, we thought that we could never be beaten in RFK. Because of the atmosphere there, our fans making it such a outstanding atmosphere. And, you know, we had the best fans in the world. And I know a lot of pro athletes say that, but sincerely, RFK, we had the best fans in the world.
When you say that to people, I mean, and it wasn't just at the stadium. The one thing, and I love these young kids and the Commanders. I mean, they got a great outfit. These young kids are, I mean, I'm 100% behind them. But I don't think they'll ever understand what we experienced. And it's almost a collegiate feeling. I felt like we were in a college town. And it just happened to be the most powerful city in the world. The most prestigious environment. But yet they treated us like a collegiate team. Whether that was their rowing team or their soccer team or whatever it was. And it wasn't any buy it. It was all DMV. It was, and we wasn't fighting over no branding, no nothing. It was 100% acceptance.
Yeah, I think the younger generation, I don't know what they can do to try to relive those moments that we had at RFK and, you know, our fans. But truly, truly, there's no city like Washington, D.C. D.C. means everything to me. Just the word alone, being the capital of our nation. I mean, there's so much to be proud of, and so many well-respected people respected us and treated us like gold.
I tried to tell about to heavy metal because he's a rock fanatic. And the one thing about rock bands, like music in general, but rock fans have that passionate following that reminds me so much about the following that we, the Burgundy and Gold diehard, that every game for us, we had no road games because our people traveled. Like that. We always felt at home no matter where we were. I mean, and to be honest with you, there are teams that have something similar to it, but what Sam Lagarde recreating that atmosphere in Southern California for Super Bowl 17 with a rib, doing barbecue ribs across the country? Come on, Slim, yeah. Who does that?
Yeah, absolutely, man. We definitely were treated like rock stars. And the one thing that I could remember just talking to a lot of retired players that had the opportunity to play against us, they said that, you know, we were so fortunate to play in a great city like that with the support of our fans. And they would have loved to play in Washington during our era. And you're right, regardless of where you go, I mean, they're always going to be there and they always have that passionate and drive to, you know, be a part of our football team.
Now, you know, people talk about a home-cooked meal, and I think about it today. It's ironic because the young puppies are in town today and they're having, you know, their walkthroughs, and people say, you know, what the walkthrough, what does it mean? It means everything for those who care.
Absolutely.
Because that's when you get to meet your new family members.
Yes.
And you know, and there is some apprehension. Everybody has a little bit of, you're a little bit at ease, but you get on that field. I can still see you running that shake four route and seeing you and Daryl, you know, and it's the matchups. It's people going out there competing.
Yeah,
and to where you are identifying your own team and saying, oh, yeah, we going to have some gunpowder, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, walkthroughs were so important for us, you know, the mini camps. And that's where we saw, you know, basically the beginning of, you know, a dynasty, if you want to put it that way, how many great players and just competing, you know, day in and day out, you know, going up against, you know, Darryl Green and Lamar Parrish, Joe Lavener, Jairus White, you know, Mark Murphy, and all the guys, Tony Peters, man. I mean, it was a battle, and you look forward to seeing how great these guys can get and how much better they can make you.
Yeah, and I'm watching Virgil. I can see Virgil C right now running a four route. You know, you think about all these guys running up, is seeing Dexter coming off the edge, is seeing Stark, Joe Jaco, all these dudes, World Grant playing center, playing double positions, Bosco. You start remembering all these things, and that's what they will get today. And they won't know that what is happening, but remember our meetings. You remember meetings, Painter. I remember guys smoking Marlboros in meetings.
Yeah.
Remember that? You know, things that guys smoking Marlboros.
And having a beer after practice.
Oh, after practice in the locker room. Or
yeah,
guys,
man,
I remember Coach Henning. Remember him daring you. Remember him daring you not to remember something he's putting on the board.
Yeah.
Talking about your behind would be at the trailway. They had you at a bus stop. You'll be out of here so quick you won't even know your name.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, you have to be really smart to play in Joe Gibbs' system and to play in Richie Pettibone's defense. I mean, you just have to. And, you know, it's all business. You know, it's just like you in school taking notes, you know, writing down all the important factors, remembering it, going back over it over and over and over again.
Hey, Charlie, I got a question for you, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Now, you were one of the Smurfs, I believe, and you're, I think, part of the Fun Bunch as well. What do you think of this 2025 wide receiver core that they've put together on the Commanders right now? You know, Debo, bringing in Debo, they got this Virginia Tech kid, Lane, that's going to be doing kick returns too. And, you know, what do you think of the identity of this going forward? You know, because you definitely played on some iconic Redskins wide receiver cores.
Yes, you know, I think we have great football minds with Washington at this point right now, you know, which is so much positive than what it's been in the past. So I trust them in what they're doing and all the decisions they make, just not at wide receivers, but at any other group. But I would say the wide receiver group is definitely a big upgrade, bringing in Debo and you know, some of the other signings to go with what we had on the field. You know, we should be right there at the top of any duo or any receiving core in the NFL. And, you know, definitely we got the quarterback, you know, to go along with it. So, I mean, I'm very excited about the receivers group, and I just can't wait to see, you know, what type of numbers and how far they can get us and possibly win a Super Bowl.
Ooh. Super Bowl.
I know
that.
He said it.
Super Bowl. That would have never been mentioned here 5 years ago. The expectations, because the ownership, coaching, GMs, all the whole infrastructure is set so that you can say that. You're not just throwing that out there. You say that with conviction.
Absolutely.
And I say that because the Super Bowl champion is in our division.
Right.
And they took the ball and crammed it down our throat in the first play of the game and scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
So, you know, as good as you and the Smurf and everybody was out there, James Arthur, all of y'all, that success came because we were able to slam that ball between the tackles. And we also stopped people from running on us. If you can't run the ball on people and can't stop running the ball, people from running the ball on you, you just talking trash.
Well, those are the two most important points in championship football right there.
Right.
Stopping the run and being able to run it. And, you know, I know that Washington, our front office, you know, they've done such a great job, and they see the same thing. You got to be able to run it. And that's what Philly did. You know, they got Saquon Barkley. You know, they had a great offensive line. They had receivers to go with it. They had the quarterback. So, I mean, we're right in their back door. We're looking at them, and, you know, they're looking at us in their rearview mirror. So we know what we have to do. And, man, it's a lot of excitement that's going to be up in the DMV this year.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And, you know what, the fact that we're in these conversations and we're not just making it up. You have
right.
a legitimate shot at it, and don't sleep on the Giants. Really, it's back to the old days. The entire division has weapons. Nope. I mean, we like the kid about Dallas. All crap aside, they have a ferocious front, and they drafted real well, as they always do, and they got that interior rebuilt. So everybody can beat you, and you can beat everybody, and that reminds me of the old days, the fact that every game within the division – is must-see. And the scheduling, a lot of talk will be about the scheduling. So I want to ask you, I pretty much know what you're going to say, but the rest of the people need to hear it. How much do you care about the schedule release?
Well, I really don't care because, you know, if you got your mind on that one goal, regardless who you have to play or who's in front of you, you know you're going to have to go through it. It's never going to be easy. If you have a tough schedule, kudos. That's the way it should be. Now go and win and beat these people and make it to the Super Bowl. It's just that simple. Because you're going to have a stretch where you have to be dominant, and you're going to have to dominate your position each position, and you're going to have to dominate both offense and defense and on special teams. So, hey, whoever you put out there, okay, let's get this game going.
Yeah, man, I love you. I knew what you were going to say.
Oh,
it
yeah.
is, but that's why the NFL is the number one sport, because it engages
Absolutely.
Everybody.
Absolutely.
Because everything they do makes you want to be engaged. But you know that don't matter who you have to play, you can't say, oh, no, we don't want that. You got to deal with it.
Absolutely.
And you want to be in the biggest game. You want to be on prime time. Now they're
Absolutely.
Traveling all over the world to play
that's
these
right.
games. So, that's you know, right. you just – it's a part of being good. It's a part of being
yes.
good. In South
yes,
Carolina
and, you know,
and the draft, what do you remember about that? I mean, I know you have great pride in South Carolina and the guys coming out there. I love the fact that you always represent. And before we let you go, is there anything we need to know about South Carolina's talent that's coming out there that you want to lay on us before it happens?
Well, you know, just let me say this, Rick. You know, when I came out in 1981, in 1981 draft class, you know, from South Carolina State, you know, we had the most dominating draft class in the MASC and in the great rich history of South Carolina State. Our mm-hmm. draft class was number one and still is, and I don't think it will ever be broken. We had five guys that get drafted, and we had three free agents. And so we had eight people in the NFL draft. Six of us made it. And among the six of us that made it, we played in four Super Bowls, three NFC championships, three AFC championships, and two Pro Bowls. There's always going to be some talent coming out of South Carolina State. Now, it's not going to be near as much as it used to be. It slacked off a great deal because of the transfer portal. That's one reason. And, you know, you just don't have dogs like how we had in 1981.
Well, brother, I'm so glad that that dog that came out of the War 87 ended up here, and can't wait to see you this upcoming season as the Commanders yeah. go out to lay their mark down, and they got to do their thing their way. I'm 100% yeah. behind it and can't wait to see you.
Yes. Well, just let me say this, Rick, before you mm-hmm. signed off. First of all, man, it's always an honor to come on your show. You have the best show in the country. And the second thing is, ironically, our 1981 draft class from South Carolina State, which was the best in the MASC history and the school history, ironically, in 1981, the Washington Redskins draft class is the best draft class in Redskins history.
Medler, are we going to have to fact check that?
Oh, definitely.
we will. Trust me.
Oh, yes.
And if we don't do that, I'm sure Coach Sheehan will get the job done. Hey, man, number love for you, CB.
Okay. You
do
know
your
it,
thing, man.
Love you, brother.
You got it, brother. You got it.
All right.
As Coach Thompson would say, Charlie Brown is simply one of the best. We'll take a break, and we appreciate that, brother, man, courtesy of the Rude Guest Hotline, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to Overtime, Doc Walker, Heavy Metal. Christopher with you here. It was a work day out of Commander's Park. And the young pups on the scene, and Donna Hopkins, Pro Football Plus, she's on the scene. And as much as we kid about the Underwear Olympics It's a process. It's got to happen. It happens all over the league. There's a first time for everything. And what was your first impression on this young batch of Commanders?
Hey, Rick, it was fun to be back out there. First of all, let me just say I enjoyed listening to Charlie Brown because he was fun to watch and cover when he played. Mm-hmm. But going to the Commanders now, as far as you said, the young pups and everything, to look at them today, we didn't get to see a lot, you know, because no pads on, but you did get to see them go through some of their drills. And let me just start with Josh Connerly with some of the drills that they took him through. This guy was moving people across the field. You can tell that he is going to be a player that catches on quick, that's able to help the Commanders quick, the fact that he plays both guard and tackle. And you just saw his feet work. I mean, I was looking at every aspect of him going into those drills and the way he was hitting the pass, the way he was blocking. You know how they said the offensive people should be driving the defensive players back? You mm-hmm. could just see him doing that even through the drills. But they did a ball drill, and, you know, just watching his footwork and his balance and everything was quite impressive. So I love what I saw there. And then watching Bill Merritt, he said that that's what we could call him, the running back that was drafted. The mm-hmm. thing I like about him is that watching Anthony Lynn work with him, let me tell you, Anthony Lynn is one of those coaches that you want your kids to work with because it was no joke out there. I mean, he was taking him through those drills. He was stopping him. He was, and let me tell you, those coaches that are hard on you, that's what you saw in Anthony Lynn. And I was talking to Merritt after practice was over and what did he get out of Anthony Lynn. And then it was almost like he was working one-on-one with him. And so you were able to soak it up, being that you had Anthony Lynn. And like he said, Anthony Lynn is a coach that has done this before. So whatever he's trying to impart upon you, you've got to take that. And then you go to the wide receiver. But I was, Doc, I was laughing so hard watching him, you know, drill him. And, no, don't do it. Do it again. No, this way. I loved it. I was like, that is what you want to see in a coach. And that's what Coach Quinn talked about, you know, in, you know, even the coaches moving forward, you know, them getting better, the second-year players getting better. So, again, the wide receiver group as far as Lang, you know he's got speed and everything. That's what you saw out there. He's going to help them a lot. But it was the character of the players getting to talk to them a little bit more now. You know, when you get in front of a mic and everything, they were seasoned. You could tell that they drafted the right core of people. These are the kind of players that the Commanders want to get on this team. And then you had Zach Ertz that was out here at practice. And I was like, hey, you know what? A veteran was out here. And he, you know, he was lifting weights and he came down on the field. You know how much that is huge to the players that's trying to make the roster. But I thought that Gabe Taylor was a guy that, you know, I'd love talking to him because he's got a little chip on his shoulder a little bit because, you know, the critics are saying that he's so small and all of those things. But I was asking him about not being in Sean Taylor's shadows, but for people to, you know, critique him on him, Gabe Taylor, the player. And that's all he wants is that opportunity. You know, Sean was a fantastic player. That's the kind of player you want on a roster. But Gabe wants to make his own pathways. And I think it's important for people to let that happen. But it's a little chip there to, as far as, Doc, I'm going to show you all.
Well, being here with that, with being Taylor, he's going to have to embrace it. And as long as he's physical, he'll have a chance. Donna Hopkins is brought to us courtesy of the Rude Guest Hotline. And this is important. What you're sharing with us right now is why the NFL is number one. People are thirsty. The fan base is thirsty for good information. And this is not fluff. This is why teams are good. A, they have excellent staffs. Lynn, another one, former head coach. So this guy is not being coached by a friend of the coach, a friend of a friend. He's got one of the best in the world at what he does. And they have a number of people like that on this staff. They're excellent teachers. That's why they vet the people they pick. They select people that they know they can coach hard. Otherwise, he wouldn't be here.
Yeah, and he was talking about coaching hard. You know how, you know, when players come in for the first time out of college, they've got to gel to the NFL, you know, from the film room, the classroom of learning those things, taking it on the field. It's a lot that they're being thrown at step by step. But I like the Commanders because they are not trying to throw the book at them all at one time, but they're taking them step by step. And what I saw with Anthony Lynn with Merritt today is that it was no plan. It was like, I don't care that you just came out of college. You're in the NFL now, and I'm pushing you for as an NFL player right now. And I expect you to pick it up as I teach you. It goes back to my rowing coach. He was like, I'm rowing for the first time. He expected me to already know it or I'll grasp it quickly. And that's what Anthony Lynn was doing is showing him the kind of what he wanted him to do in the drills and then going and doing it and then stopping him to say, nope, that's not right. Let's do it right. Let's do it over. But it was just, hey, you're in the NFL right now, and you have to pick up things quickly. And the fact that he had that one-on-one time with Anthony Lynn, you know how hard is that? I mean, it was another back out there with him, but he was really had the time to really show these guys before all the veterans can get here, and then you ain't got time for all of that.
I tell you what, man. You know, it reminds me of heavy metal training new engineers.
I've been doing a lot of that lately.
No, just that's what it reminded me. But you're good at it. Not everybody can teach. You know, and Don, I thought of you being that it is National Teachers Appreciation Week, because you're an excellent teacher, and I've seen your work, and we appreciate your work, and we appreciate that you gave us a live account, and I know that Big L would have loved to have heard it because that's where he wanted to be as well, out there, boots on the ground, and for you, Skelettos on the ground, because as a junkie, this is where anybody that really loves this business wants to be, and that is watching the next group of talent be integrated with this vibe they have, because they have a positive vibe, and that is good. And we appreciate you. Thank you. And can't wait to do this again.
Definitely, Rick. It's been fun. See you all later. And look, enjoy this beautiful weather we had out here today.
Yeah. And I talked to the old man today with the silver beard. And I just told him in a minute.
In a minute. Because he got me in the minute.
Absolutely. Tony McGee. We'll talk to you later. Folks, stay with us. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll just keep doing what we do, rocking and rolling. Coach Nockey's going to join us. Scott Jackson is going to join us. He is on the docket, and we'll just keep playing the hits right here on Overtime. Fantastic weather day in the nation's capital. I don't think it's even fair to the public to react or mention the scores. Now, if I told you that it was 47-30 Celtics, I don't even think that generates a reaction anymore. If I told you it was 100-30, I don't think it generates a reaction. Because no matter what the score is, unless it's only about 2 minutes to go in the game, as long as it's in the first half, it's pretty much irrelevant. Because we've seen those scores dwindle down, be erased, and not matter at all to the outcome. So it is what it is with sports. But eventually, it's going to matter. I will say this for Celtic Nation. And I know my oldest is out there. He's a Celtic fanatic. Porzingis being on the floor is a good thing for Boston. The question is, for how long? You know, how long will he be there? This is crazy in terms of how these scores have been, how things have ended up in hoops. It's, man, it's crazy. We're going to be, DC Divas are at home. Well,
the Knicks tonight. and the Knicks and the Celtics are playing right now, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, and they are, but again.
Knicks are down by almost 20 again.
Again. Yeah, again. but you don't react to it now because you go, what's new?
Yeah, I know. They did that the last two games and won them, so.
Yeah. That's my point. But years ago, if we said that, you'd say, well, it's over. You can't do that now. You just can't. And I don't care. And looking at hockey right now, you've seen some of the most incredible closes when it comes to hockey now that that I know I've seen. And you've been watching the sport with a lot more intensity longer than I have. I've never – this is amazing. Some of these finishes and these comebacks. But that's what – when I heard the term many, many years ago, when I was taught, and you know, Al Kokin and the boys and the Iceman, Steve Kobe, were talking to me about puck luck. So you knew about it. I had to be taught that. It is amazing. It is amazing. But when were you taught about puck luck?
I mean, back when you're playing, you know, when you're learning and figuring out how to fight, get through the corners and stuff, and mm-hmm. you know, it's there's a lot of random factors, kind of what I think of it as. But yeah,
okay. So when you see the style of the Hurricanes, you understand that
for sure. I mean,
yeah, okay.
They have these kind of lithe little dudes that will shoot a lot. They'll put a lot of shots up. They might not all be great shots, but they're just going to take a lot of shots, and they're just going to, you know, keep shooting at the goalie, and they're going to make your goalie earn it. And you know, the Caps do not do that. They have a much more big and physical team. They're not as quick on the ice as the Hurricanes, but the Caps, like I said, this is what I was saying all along. They need to start beating up the Canes. So by the time you get late in this series, those fast little guys are just beat up. They're just bruised and they're tired, and you've slowed them down now, you know, like, and then that's where you come in and you throw your weight around. You know, it's like being in old, you know, the old 80s Knicks teams with Patrick Ewing and stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
throw that
when
weight
Riley
around a little bit, right? Like,
yeah, with Riley, yeah.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, use that to your advantage, and you don't have to be the lithe little fast guys. You know, if you're just trying to play the Hurricanes game, they're going to beat you at it. Their team is just better at what they do, but that doesn't mean the Caps can't win by playing their game the right way either, you know?
Yeah, as long as you don't have to play the game shorthanded.
And look what happened in game two, though. They came out, Tom Wilson led the charge, but they were playing much more physical, a lot more hits, and they come out with a win. You know, they didn't look as on their heels the entire game like they did in game one. And
well, they couldn't afford to. I mean, let's face it.
They had to do it. They
that
had
was
to come
a barrage.
Out, just come out and win ugly. I mean, that's what you got to do, though. That is how they're going to win this series, is by being physical like that. So if they win, that's what they're going to have to do. If they start, you know, slowing down and letting the Canes just skate all around them and take a million shots, it's not going to look pretty, you know? So
I saw Wilson, and again, I just love it. It reminds me of Rod Langway's days when you throw in their bodies in front of pucks. I mean, it was like a Gatling machine gun. It really just seemed – I see what you're saying. You pressure him out of it physically.
Yeah, take him in the corners and just check him a lot. And just every chance you get, like, you know, to the point where, like, it's like, what did they say, like, the old days with the Hogs and stuff, you know? It's like, you might come to D.C. and you might beat them, but you're going to leave bruised, you know?
Yeah,
like, you're going to feel that you played them.
Yeah, you shorten, you turn the game into like beating the guy in the phone booth. And so if I told you that Boston was up by 20 right now, what's your gut reaction?
Time to bet on the Knicks, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's just so, it doesn't seem right. It just, it doesn't, does not seem right. Well, our guy Scott Jackson is going to be ready for action. I can't wait to get his response to this, even though it's ready for football night. DC Divas hosting Tampa in town tonight. And I just hope they're as physical as I hope they will be up front, where the Divas obviously have an advantage. They get that big offensive line they've got going and ground and pound. That's what I always pray for with them. But that's my philosophy with damn near any team. If I can shorten the game, control it, and that's, by the way, for those of you that don't agree, look at Philly. Philly, man, they've created the game to fit their personnel. The question is, how long will they be able to maintain that edge? And right now, it's a physical edge. Whether you like them at quarterback or not, I do. He's perfect for them. You know, they're not interested in having Johnny Unitas right now. They don't need him. They don't need Johnny Unitas. Doesn't necessarily fit their profile. But for what they're doing right now, yeah, it's a good fit. Good fit. This tush push is still on the dockets. I don't think we've heard the end of it. I really don't. I think the league is going to eliminate that if any way they can. I'm not convinced that the Eagles are doing anything wrong. Granted, their quarterback may be a tad stronger than most.
I just think. I think as a fan, it's just not fun to watch. You know, and I think that's probably what the league probably cares the most about. You know, if the fans don't want to see it, because it's like, you're taking fourth downs out of the equation now. You know, it used to be fourth downs were a big risky play, and now they're like, nah, we just get automatic fourth downs as long as they're fourth and one or two. You know, it's like, it's just, you're taking all that drama out of the game. I don't know that the NFL wants that taken out of the game, you know? More than player safety, more than if it should be legal or not due to whatever. I think it has to do with ratings, and that's what the NFL cares about. They're king, you know?
Can't argue that. I mean, the money's going to come first, no doubt about it. But when the world champion is doing it, I do think it'll get more of a grace period than most.
But when we were watching Luvu jump over the line over and over, and they kept getting penalties and whatever, it's like, did anybody enjoy watching that on either side? Like, that's not good football to watch, right? Like, the drama just wasn't there in that moment, and it's, I don't know. I just think it's just not fun as a fan to watch. And that's, I don't know, that's not good TV or whatever. So.
Yeah, well, that'll be, I mean, I'm sure, but that didn't just start. And the defense, it's about TV. I'm not going to argue with you on that. I will be interested in what Brother Jackson has to say about that, because he's a stickler. He's a stickler over it. Let's take a break, come back. Scott Jackson, and a man of wears many hats, and he'll be the voice play-by-play tonight with the DC Divas, and we'll get him to talk some round ball and some Divas football with us. And, of course, his passion, Capitals hockey. We'll see what he thinks about what it will take to get the Canes, to tame the Canes right here on Overtime. Welcome back to Overtime, 449 in the nation's capital. And my partner in crime, Scott Jackson, man who wears many hats. How do you do it, man? Know how you love hockey and know that the responsibility tonight that Logan Thompson has upon him, who has a greater burden to deal with right now than Logan Thompson?
Wow, nobody, it seems like, right? I mean, he has been the sole reason the Capitals were winning game one and had a chance to, well, would have been a steal, let's be honest. They were, you know, they were dominated in that game, but were led most of it, and it was an unfortunate turnover that led to that goal that put that game in overtime. But yeah, I mean, he's been great. I mean, they really have, they played much better, obviously, overall as a team in game two, but it does feel like he's going to have to continue to play like they like to say, standing on his head in order for them to win this series, because Carolina just keeps coming at you. They got obviously four deep lines. They possess the puck a lot. They get more shots on goal usually. So we'll see tonight here in about an hour what they have in store.
And if I told you, and I know you're a hoops guy, and if I told you that the Celtics were up by 20 or whatever, what would be your reaction, even if it's at MSG?
I think they're the better team. I felt like they're the better team. I still think they can win the series. This is, to me, today's game, all the pressure's on the Knicks, because if the Knicks, you know, can't pull off another miraculous comeback, then, you know, boy, you imagine how noisy it's going to be. Plus, you play this game early in the day in New York, so they got all night to complain about the Knicks. They're, you know, they have all day tomorrow to complain about the Knicks, and most of Monday before they play game four. They got to be a little nervous, because Boston has been more dominant despite shooting poorly from three in particular. I mean, they've, as bad as they've been from three, they've built 20-point leads the first two games. Obviously, today they're shooting lights out. Finally, more like the Celtics we're used to seeing, and you know, now we'll see if they can finish the job, or they can have this fourth quarter ghost come back up again.
And then how do you read your team? DC Divas go through, really, they blow it, you blow your opponent out. Then you got to come home with the homestand. How do you judge how ready you are? Because early on in seasons, and we know this by trial and error, how do you know where your club is?
Yeah, I mean, they were really sharp, obviously, against a team that wasn't nearly as talented as them. They killed Philadelphia in that first game, as you mentioned. Like, I think it was like 77-0. And now, Tampa got beat pretty good a few weeks ago in their opener against Pittsburgh, who's always a good team in this league. You know, I just look at this team, Doc, and, you know, there's just a lot of familiarity with the Divas. You know, they've got some new faces and some new talent they've brought in. They've got a couple players, I understand, coming over from the Boston team, which is always, you know, the championship team or the team to beat, that won't be playing tonight, but will be playing later in the season. So, but there's just a lot of continuity with the quarterback and, you know, with Amanda and Cagialdi and the receivers and the running back. So I think that's what's good. I'm sure they're going to be hard on themselves tonight if they're not sharp. You know, they expect to score every time they touch the football.
Yeah, and that's been the trend for them, is that a big offensive line, skilled people, experienced quarterback, and that's what you expect, and then being able to move the ball. But early on in a season, I don't care what level you're on, you never know until you see it done. And that's what I know coaches, they go ball if they're not already ball, just thinking about that. But what's your gut tell you about tonight?
Yeah, I think they should be able to handle this team. We'll see. I mean, you know, there's a lot of familiar names on the other side of the ball here in Tampa. There's some good players. But, you know, I look at their roster. It's a lot smaller. They don't, you know, a lot of players are going to be playing both sides of the ball today, you know, on the lines in particular. So I think, you know, the Divas can lean on them and wear them down with that running game and obviously strike quick with that passing attack. I think this is, if they jump on them early, I like their chances, because I don't think Tampa is suited to play from behind.
Yeah, well, you know, teams' experience, especially in celebrating monumental years, don't blow games. They don't give games away. So give my best to the big man, Daniel, and hopefully you put together another sterling broadcast and you come out victorious.
All right, well, we'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right, we appreciate you. That's my guy, Scott Lynn, or our guy, as he has shared his skills throughout the DMV all the way across the board. Metal, have you been to a live Divas game?
I have not, but it actually sounds like something I'd like to bring my daughters to.
You
got to
bring
cool.
The girls out, man.
Yeah, they'd love it.
Yeah, we'll make sure that happens. You love it. It's good football, and they do it a good show, good entertainment, and something the girls would be. Future with your genes, yeah, they might very well end up.
They've watched a bit. They're right. Aware of like Caitlin Clark, and they've watched a bit of WNBA and some of the like NCAA women's hoops. But I don't know that they even know that there is women's football. So I'll have to run that
That'd
by
be
them.
Good. Yeah,
they probably love it.
It's never too soon to expose them to.
Oh no, no.
That's the beauty about youth. I'll tell you what. I was encouraged by what D-Hop Hopkins said about the camp. And, you know, every time I hear anything that the Commanders do that's involved with their staff, it's always upbeat. You know, when you just get the feeling.
Well, recently,
Well, that's what I mean. Recently. I said Commanders. You're right. Recently. Yeah, everything is recently. But this is the time of the year. And I don't discount. Look, it's all good. I'm not mad at any of it. I think it's really something that we do pay attention to for the right reasons. If you ask me of all the things I'd be concerned about right now, it's pitching. It's baseball. It's always going to be pitching baseball for me because that's the one thing that you have got to get ahead of the curve on and the curly W's. Have some talent. We're waiting on some things. That bullpen issue is not – they're not making that up. That's something you don't just rake over. It that's tough. You know, that's especially if you want to be good at everything. That is a tough part of it. Have the girls been out to see the Curly W's?
The older one has. I don't think the younger one's been to one yet, although good. Mama went when she was pregnant with her, I think. To the game yet, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so she was there. That's good. Yeah, no, that's that is a good move. Boy, it's going to be getting close. I mean, getting closer and closer. Closer. And we really appreciate the Rude Guest Hotline. They've just been on fire today. Thank them for providing Scotty Force, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Rude Guest Hotline, getting it done again. The MGM National Listener Line, 1-800-636-1067. You say Scotty's with us?
And we got Mark in Landover Hills on right now.
Oh, Mark. Oh, Marco. Yes, sir. Welcome home.
Hey, Doc. How's it going, buddy?
Are we good now, man? We good? We got a chairman of the board that just stepped into the locker room with us.
Uh-huh. Well, I think the chairman's talking to me, brother, because let me tell you, you are 100% correct about the Rude Hotline. And I want to make a comment, if I could, Doc, because sure. I will tell you that Ms. Donna Hopkins is on her game, and she is an excellent analyst and does a really good job for the fans of the team. And I want to give her a shout-out on Mother's Day, but her being a lady, that she is one of the best in the area, buddy, and I know you probably feel the same way.
Oh, I do. She is. She's so passionate. What I miss about the gig most is what...
She's on point, buddy.
Watching Donna and knowing what she's looking for, because that's what I look for. I'm watching Anthony, watching a position coach work with their unit.
Yes.
That's what I miss. I miss watching the position coaches work individuals. And when I find a really good coach, and like she's done with Anthony Lynn and all of their coaches individually, when they're teaching those fundamentals and they're doing the one-on-ones, and to me, the running back coach, I mean, obviously the quarterback coach is priceless. But usually the head coach or the coordinator has quarterback in their background. So even if he's a bum, they'll cover for him. But if you got a weak coach, he can never be your cornerback coach. He can never be your secondary coach. Ever.
I hear you. You played for a bunch of really good coaches, Doc. I've got to say that I think some of the coaches you played under, a few of them became head coaches and some didn't. But I will tell you right now that I think that Mr. Joe Jackson Gibbs had a really good staff and some really good help on his staff. And I think there's a big difference between this regime and who our man from the local area has put on his team of coaches. And big difference between the last regime and this regime. And I think it's going to work out for us, Doc. And it's really good to hear Donna talking about the guys in the trenches, Doc. You and I talk about that all the time. I tried to talk to Big L today about it, and hopefully maybe he listened, and he won't be quite the wolf ticket salesman that he gets to be sometimes with his extremism. But I told him he had the ship sailing a lot better, and hey, you have to be patient with people, and I know you're patient with him, so I have to.
Well, he's young. He's 27 years old.
I know, Doc. I know, man.
So what do you expect?
I think he really did a disservice to Mr. to one of the gentlemen on the team, and I had to kind of chime in on that, Doc, because I'm pulling for the me and you were just talking about the coaches, and I think some of the players that they have already, I think will improve and can make a big difference this year, Doc. I think that in this short term attention span world that we have, people think it's all supposed to happen in 1 year, and I'm not saying that it can't. But
yeah, well, one thing I love about Big L is that he never stutters. Whatever he feels, he says it out loud.
He certainly does, Doc. He kind of flies by the seat of his pants a little bit, buddy.
Yeah, I respect that. Thank you, man. I appreciate you. Have a great Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, brother.
Enjoy it. Enjoy it. And on that note, we shall take a break. And we'll be right back continuing to do this right here on Overtime. Stay with us.